Excuse me, please. I have to get to the microphone. Please excuse me. Sorry. Excuse me.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Whatever. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, it's a Ron Van Dam.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Please hold your applause. Welcome to the program. I ask you to please hold your applause. My God, that is rude. Now it's rude. God, people are rude. Anyway, welcome to the program. My name is Ron Van Dam. I do this every single weekday. It's a pleasure to meet you. I don't think we've met before. You don't look familiar to me. What's your name? No, not ringing a bell. I'm sorry. I don't really know who you are. So, under the circumstances, I'm afraid we have to set ourselves straight with the rules and regulations of this program.
This is the Ron Van Dam Show. Thank you for coming. Your waiter will be along shortly. Please be advised that the Ron Van Dam Show has been designated as a non-smoking area. Please watch your step while boarding the Ron Van Dam Show, as contents may have shifted during travel. In clinical studies, the Ron Van Dam Show has not been shown to reduce cholesterol in laboratory animals. Exits are located to the rear on the left and right sides of the auditorium. The sea bass is steamed and served with a white truffle risotto. Illinois residents add 5% sales tax. Shake before serving. If dizziness or swelling occur, stop using the Ron Van Dam Show immediately. Proper ID is required, no cover charge after 10 p.m. Moo. Listening to the Ron Van Dam Show may require you to lift objects weighing 15 pounds or more. Please remain seated until the Ron Van Dam Show comes to a complete stop.
Thank you. Now sign here. Very good. Initial here. And dated here. All right, now get your witness to sign there. And initial here. Okay, good. Who's your notary? What? Okay. Official, you've got the notary seal. Okay. Notarize, please. Very good. Excellent. Good. Okay. We've got all our paperwork done. I can now continue with the program. Whew. Got to go through this almost every day with you. I get sent a lot of books here doing this program, a lot of promotional books from authors, new books that have just come out. And I don't read all of them because I can't read. I can read, I'm kidding. I have more of an education than you do, probably. That's not the point. I don't have time to read. All these words on printed pages, and it's so, all these words. Besides, I do radio, I talk. I don't write, I talk. And I don't listen well either. If you're talking, if you send me to a lecture or something, I'll be out of there in 10 minutes. I can't listen to somebody talk at me. Ironic, because that's what I do for a living. But that's not my problem. So I open up this book, and it's called 69 Shades of Nashville. sounds like a wholesale shade store for blinds, window blinds, but it's not. It's like 69 Shades of Nashville. It has that little sexy feel to it. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? And there is sex in this book. There's some steamy, hot sex. Yeah. It's not bad, but it's intelligent, hot, steamy sex, which is my favorite kind of hot, steamy sex. It's a fascinating story about... a situation in Nashville where, yeah, you know what I say? Nicole Kelly, MD, is the author of this book, and we speak to her toward the end of the program today. You don't want to miss that. So yesterday, it was a weekend yesterday, and I really had to get away from things. My mind was racing with tons of things I had to do and all that kind of crap, and busy Monday for me. So I just needed to just have a nice meal. I decided I was going to go to one of my favorite restaurants in the area. It has Italian food in this restaurant because it's an Italian restaurant. Wow. They have Italian food too? Yeah, because it's an Italian restaurant. And they have a dish there that I just love, and I go there specifically to eat this dish. They don't have to give me a menu when I walk into the restaurant because I know what I want before I even leave my house. I crave this item on their menu, and it's veal parmesan. Now, you've heard of chicken parmesan. You can get that all over the place. It's not hard to make at home either, to be honest with you. But veal parmesan is not that easy to find where it's always tender. I never use a knife. Oh, no. Oh, no. If you use a knife, it means something needs to be cut. No, this is so tender. This veal is so tender that you just cut it with a fork. You don't even need to cut it. All you have to do is stare at the veal and it will part. That's how tender this veal is. And it's perfectly lightly breaded with a little bit of a crust on it, but still tender as hell. And this wonderful, wonderful pasta sauce served over spaghetti. I asked for the ziti, the penne, because it's not as sloppy. Spaghetti can get all over your clothes when you're at a restaurant, and that's embarrassing. The penne, you can slip the tine of the fork into the hollow of the pasta, and thus a more neat, controlled eating experience. And the Parmesan cheese just oozing, and the mozzarella just lying there on top of the veal. It's a dish to be loved. So I get to the restaurant. I'm the first one there. They open up at 11:30. I'm there at 11:32. I timed it perfectly. It's half an hour from my house. It's not around the corner. You have to really want to go to this restaurant. It's half an hour away. Well, my voice got high. Did you enjoy that? So I arrive at 11:32. I walk in there, and the wait staff is pretty much just waiting for me. They're hanging out because there's no other customers in there yet. I'm the first one in. So they hover around me like I'm Dorothy in the Wizard of Oz. Welcome to our land. You know, that kind of thing. It was nice. And they take me over to a really nice table in the dining room area. And this lovely, lovely wait person comes over and she says, my name is Barbara, and I'm going to be taking care of you today. Oh, that's nice. I like that phrase. It's not, my name is Barbara, and I'll be taking your order today. No, she's going to be taking care of me. So I asked for a sponge bath. She did not find that to be humorous at all. A sponge bath square pants, by the way. Is that the name of the character? I always get it wrong. No, I didn't say that to her. Of course, I'm a perfectly wonderful person in public. And Barbara says, I'll be taking care of you today. And I said, ah, that is great. I love that phrase. Because I want to be taken care of just for this experience, Barbara. I don't want you on my ass 24/7. I don't want to be taken care of like that. I don't want you turning me over in bed because I'm getting bed sores. I'm not looking for that kind of care. I don't need to be spoon-fed either. But if you're going to be bringing me the food that I order, I guess that's taking care of me, I suppose. Do you burp me when this is all over? What's going to happen? Are you changing my diaper? Not that I need it, but, you know, we could talk. We could role play. That's what you like, Barbara. She says, I'll be taking care of you today. She says, do you want a few moments to look over the menu? I said, Barbara. I know. I'm going to have the veal parmesan with the penne. And I will also have a tall glass of Grey Goose and water, please. She says, oh. Yes, I know. It's 11:33 now. And I'm certainly within it's 5 o'clock somewhere, Barbara. Isn't that a horrible phrase? Don't you hate it when everybody uses the same phrase and thinks that it's funny? That always annoys me. Because it's not creative, it's just annoying. This happens around New Year's, when, like, the day before New Year, on December 31st, people are walking around saying, see you next year, see you next year. And they're like, what, you know, are you serious? Are you seriously saying that to me? Like, I'm supposed to find that to be the newest thing I've ever heard. Oh, I get it. See you next year. Today's the day before New Year's. Oh, that is so funny. Wait till I tell my friends. It's the same thing with that line about drinking. Oh, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. Wow. You know, you're accurate. That is true. It is 5 o'clock somewhere all the time. Actually, that's not true. That's not true. If it's a quarter of the hour, then it's not 5 o'clock anywhere, because 5 o'clock would be at the top of the hour. And the only difference we have in time zones are by the hour, not by the fraction of the hour. So technically, your statement is incorrect if it is stated at any time other than the top of the hour. Do you understand that, Barbara? I'll be taking care of you. Well, not really. So anyway, so I said, yeah, you know, I'll have a drink. I happen to, my job is early in the morning. I do these radio shows very early in the morning before you even wake up, before you even know what's going on. I slip these things in. I'm like Santa Claus. In the middle of the night, I do these shows practically. And it's while you're sleeping, you know, because if it was while you were awake, I'd never get away with this crap. Someone would stop me. Because it's 5 o'clock somewhere. So by 11, it's like most of my day is already completed. You know, I'm certainly drink at that point. So I'm waiting for my food. And then, what I fear the most, the reason that I think about where I go in restaurants, because there's great fear involved here, something horrible can occur when I'm in a restaurant. And it is the fear that is struck to me as I'm sitting there at the front door, walking into the restaurant, is a nice couple, a man and a woman, with two little children. And not just any little children. Loud, screaming little bastards. And I say to myself, well, you know, it's a big restaurant. They'll be seated somewhere else, obviously. No. The hostess brings them into the main dining room, and they're getting closer and closer and closer to me. She seats them at the next table right next to me. That will not be tolerated in our society. You got this whole restaurant. You got probably about 40 tables in this dining room. But you put these people with screaming little children next to me? Do you know who I am? Do you know my intolerance, Barbara? And then Barbara walks over to these little people, and I can hear them. They're sitting almost right next to me. The kids are practically in my lap, and they're already getting fussy. They've only been there for 30 seconds, and they're starting to get fussy. And Barbara walks up to the table and says, "Hi, I'm Barbara. I'll be taking care of you." That was my line, Barbara. I thought you were going to take care of me out of the kindness of your heart and the warmth of your bosoms. You were going to take care of me. But no. You're prostituting yourself to every table in this restaurant, telling them you're going to take care of them too. You can't take care of all of us, Barbara. Not in the way that I want to be taken care of. I need your love. I need your attention. Spread yourself thin in this den of iniquity. I did something that I will tell you that I did, and you will find me to be a despicable human being, although I've already raised my hand to answer that question. I am despicable when it comes to this. I said, "Barbara, come here for a second. You who takes care of me, come over here." I said, "Barbara, I'd like to move my seat because these kids are like right next to me, and that doesn't make sense." And she said, "Oh, okay, I understand." And she moves me one table away. "Barbara, Barbara, Barbara, you don't understand. One table away isn't going to do crap." Well, I sat through this because I am a respectable individual, but it ruined my lunch. Listening to these kids, every word they say, these whining, bratty little screaming kids. And the parents are going, "Johnny, Johnny, please, Johnny, 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 John." By the way, did you know one of the kids' names was Johnny? How did I know this? Because they're only like two tables away from me. And she's constantly saying, "Johnny, Johnny, 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 stop it, Johnny. Johnny, 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 stop it, Johnny. Johnny, stop it, Johnny, 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 Johnny. Is that the way we act? Johnny, Johnny, stop it, Johnny." I don't know the other kid's name. The other kid was screaming and annoying too, but nowhere near Johnny. Johnny was like annoying. I had a horrible lunch. The veal was very good, but I couldn't enjoy it. Here's what I'm saying to myself, and this is the point that I'm making. Let's say you have children. You're at home. You're the parent of Johnny. Johnny's driving you nuts. So you say to your husband, "Bob," that's obviously the husband's name, it always is, "Bob, let's get a sitter, let's go out to dinner, let's have a date night, where it's just you and me. We'll go to dinner, we'll go to the movies, we'll hold hands in the movies, and we'll have a glass of wine, we'll get all familiar with each other, we'll read a couple of pages from the 69 Shades of Nashville book, we'll get it on. Let's do that, Bob." "All right, I'll call the sitter right away." And the sitter comes over, and Bob gets dressed up, and the wife gets dressed up, and they're excited. This is like going to be their date night. This is going to be their date night. This is going to be fantastic. They're all excited about it. And the sitter comes, and Bob and his wife, they get in the car, and it's quiet, it's silent. They turn the car on, there's nothing but the hum of the engine and the chirping of the crickets outside, and it's wonderful, and they both smell good, and they look in each other's eyes, and they say, this is going to be a night we're going to remember forever. Yeah, you know. They get in the car, and they drive. And Bob says, what kind of food do you think you want?
How about Italian? We'll have a nice Chianti and veal parmesan with penne.
Oh, yeah. Sounds great. They get to the restaurant. They get a nice table. The candles on the table, and it's romantic, and it's wonderful. And they take a sip of wine, and they're getting a little giddy.
Oh, Bob. Oh, Bob. Oh, you man, you Bob.
And in the distance, this woman comes over, and it's the server, and she says,
hello, my name is Barbara, I'll be taking care of you.
Oh. And then in the far corner of the restaurant, in comes this family with seven little kids, screaming, there goes your night. And they're seated right next to you. And through your whole romantic evening, you've spent money for a sitter. You have arranged this date for the two of you for weeks now. And what happens? You're seated next to screaming kids. You can't get away from it. Every effort, every hope, every dream has been dashed in your face like someone taking a burning cigarette and screwing it into your eyelid. All hope is lost forever. That's what happens. So what I'm saying is, restaurants, you have no smoking areas. Matter of fact, you can't smoke in most restaurants at all anymore. But there was the day when smokers were separated from non-smokers in restaurants. Why? Because there needed to be a separation. You needed your place, your area, your environment protected. I say to restaurants today, you need to have a section for the screaming little kids. Do not mix them into the general population of your patrons in a restaurant. Because most of them are there to enjoy a meal. They could have gone home. They could have gone to a luncheonette if they wanted just to eat some food quickly. These people are in your restaurant because they want the atmosphere. They want Barbara to take care of them. They want to relax. They want to sit back and enjoy a meal in a plush, lovely, lovely environment. Not to have screaming kids next to them.
Johnny, Johnny, stop it. Johnny, Johnny, Johnny.
That's my advice for restaurants. Because I'm telling you, if you had a sign outside of your restaurant, a gigantic sign that said, no kids, I guarantee you, you'd fill up this restaurant every night. If you made that your mantra, come to our restaurant, relax in class and elegance, because there's no kids in here. Not one. Kids are not allowed. That would be wonderful. I would eat there every day, every minute of every day. Now, there are certain restaurants where kids can go all the time. You got kids? Go to Wendy's. Go to McDonald's. Go to Burger King. Go to Phil and Buster's, whatever the hell the name of that place is. Take them to a pizza joint. Take them to Chuck E. Cheese, whatever. There are restaurants where you can bring kids. Bring them to, one of those stupid little Cracker Barrel places or an IHOP. You know, there's places where, you know, you bring your kids. But don't bring them to real restaurants. That's not fair to everybody else. And the ironic thing is, as I just explained in my little theatrical explanation here, even parents with kids should understand you should have a place to go where there's no kids when you want to go to a place where there's no kids. That also happens to me in a restaurant chain called the 99 restaurants. And I think there's a lot more than 99 of them, and they're all named 99. Where the hell's 97? Where's 96? Where's 95? I don't understand that. I always end up at the 99 one. They take in a lot of kids. They're almost like, it's like a refugee camp for children. All right, so there's kids wandering around. We'll just bring them into the 99 and sit them down next to you. You don't mind, do you? Now, that's where your immigration policies. You don't immigrate kids for lunch. I don't want kids around here. I don't want kids. Not for me, thank you. You have to know where your kid restaurants are and know that it's not time to go to those places. Take your kids to restaurants that embrace kids. If they don't embrace kids, don't bring them. All right, let's get saucy. Let's get sexy. 69 Shades of Nashville. Nicole Kelly, MD, is the author.
Hello?
Nicole Kelly, MD, joins us now. And the book is called Shades of Nashville, 69 Shades of Nashville to be exact. And it's a book unlike I've ever come across before, I must say. It's interesting. It's not for the faint of heart, but it's a interesting to me. I guess I would call it a psychological thriller. Is that where you, what do you think it is?
Absolutely. It's a sexy psychological thriller.
Yeah. And this involves I would ask who Nicole Kelly MD is, but I know that is this something that you personally witnessed in your lifetime?
It is. I actually knew a woman who was seeing five married men at the same time. And this same woman actually embezzled hundreds of thousands of dollars from my medical practice.
Ah, so you did know this kind of personally.
Yep. He's so real, yep.
Yeah. So, is the character in this book is the character based on that experience, or is it more or less a telling of indeed that experience?
It's definitely been fictionalized, but it was definitely inspired by actual events and actual stories told by the real Nashville Kitty.
I see. Has the real Nashville Kitty been in contact with you at all, out of curiosity?
No, I have not spoken with her in over 2 years.
Good. Excellent. Excellent deal. This involves, it's got just the right amount of intrigue, sex, and everything involved. I can see this on a large screen somewhere, I believe, in the near future, because it's that good. This is about a sociopath who actually takes it a step further, I guess was involved in the nasty world sexually, and then decided to embark upon the internet and found that to be a new extenuating home for her practices.
Yep, absolutely. In the book, I call it Aubrey Madeline, but the real Nashville Kitty was on Ashley Madison.
Absolutely, yes. I think that was quite obvious at that point. Yeah, it's interesting because it takes the oldest profession in the world or the oldest attitude and brings it to light to where things actually are. It's fascinating. The book kind of opens in a very mysterious, violent manner, I assume.
It does. It begins with a murder. It begins with a transcript of a 911 call of a dead body being found in a compromising position.
Yes. This is your first work, I understand.
It is. I've actually started, I don't even know how many medical books that I never finished.
Okay.
But it took being betrayed by someone I thought was a friend of mine to get me writing.
Yeah. Would you say that you wrote this book out of interest because it would be a great book, or it was somewhat cathartic for you to do this?
Well, it definitely started as therapy. Yeah. I was trying to work through how in the world I could have been so gullible as to allow this woman to completely manipulate me and con me. Yeah. And as I kept writing, I started realizing as I thought back on all of her stories and lies that She was a sociopathic sex addict.
Yeah.
Then it became a mission of mine to educate the public about the sociopathic sex addict or the sexopath in a way that's entertaining. This book is actually a way that the average person out there can get inside the mind of a sociopathic sex addict.
Yeah.
This teaches you exactly how she thinks.
And the interesting part is that even an expert such as yourself would not be able to recognize this, because this is how good a deceiver really can be.
Absolutely. They lie as easy as they breathe.
Yeah.
In fact, they can beat polygraph machines. They don't get an increase in heart rate.
Yeah.
They don't get perspiration.
Right.
They are excellent liars and manipulators.
Well, sociopaths actually would tend to believe what they say. They actually, it's almost like acting in the sense that you take on the role and you become that person, and then you become so used to being that person that you are that person.
Yep. They tell themselves lies
mm-hmm.
in order to feel good about themselves. And then they end up believing them and convincing others that their lies are true too.
Yeah. And this can, I mean, it's kind of a model for all phases of life, not necessarily in the professional manner mode that happened in this particular practice, but this can happen anywhere. People are catfished online day and night, just as regular relationship online services.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, just turn on the news. We got so many sexopaths out there. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, one of them is even the president. Okay, let's not go there. Let's not go there. Okay.
I'm actually working on a nonfiction book called Sexopathy, the Sociopathic Sex Addict, and I'm going to have a president chapter, and
mm-hmm.
I'm going to talk about Donald Trump as well as Bill Clinton.
Yeah, there's no question about it.
Yep.
Although I think one of them is a little bit more deranged than the other. Both guilty.
I mean, the point is, though.
Yeah.
I mean, if we even suspect they're deranged and sociopaths.
Yeah.
I mean, a sociopath has no empathy. Why are we putting people in positions of power if we suspect they have no empathy and are pathological liars?
Well, the interesting thing is, just to get into that for a second, with the Clinton thing, as bad as what he did was, certainly for that position in government, we weren't aware of that necessarily. In the case of the present situation, we were totally aware of that, and yet we still said, come on in, wipe your feet, and sit down at the desk. That's the odd part to me. Anyway, okay, I move on.
Absolutely.
Right. Have you been approached motion picture-wise or anything like that at this point?
Not yet. The fingers crossed.
I don't see why not. This is so cool. Wow. So you're already working on something else that is more of a documentary type of nonfiction.
Mm-hmm. A nonfiction.
Yeah.
I mean, there are just so many sexopaths out there, and Dr. Nasser and everything going on. I mean, it's time that we wake up and recognize these people for who they are.
No question about it. In the case of your situation, though, that could have been a male or a female, really. I mean, it was based on a female type of persuasion, right. But it's that's the seat of any sex, actually, as far as I'm concerned. All right.
I mean, sexopaths are 7 times more likely to be male than female, but
sure.
The women are out there too, for sure.
Well, there's a good example of how that is the case. May I ask if you can divulge whatever happened to this subject matter that you're referring to? This person?
I haven't spoken to her in over 2 years. I would assume she is still up to her old tricks.
Oh. But
I do have a surprise ending.
Okay, don't say it, because I don't want people to
read
the book.
Won't give it away.
I haven't gotten to the ending yet, because I don't read that fast. But it's a great book.
It's got pictures to make it easier to read.
Thank you. And by the way, thank you for that. it's said in the press release here that this is not for the faint of heart or someone that may be offended by sexual content. I didn't find that was the case at all, to be honest with you. I guess you're just making real sure.
Well, in conservative South, it kind of throws people for a loop.
Did this take place in the South, indeed?
It takes place in Nashville.
Yeah. And is that the actual location?
It is, which a lot of people encouraged me to change it in order to be more anonymous. Yeah. But Nashville's a character in the book. Nashville is booming right now. 80 people move to Nashville every single day.
Really?
So I really wanted to include Nashville as a character.
Very cool. You're still in the Nashville area, obviously, I guess.
I am.
Yeah.
Yep.
Is Nashville like, now it's got like suburbs and things like that, like downtown Nashville and like the suburbs are still Nashville, even though they're like 30 miles away, that kind of thing?
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah, they're an hour away. Yep.
An hour away. Holy crap. That's like New York and New Jersey. It's the New Jersey's just, New Jersey's a suburb of New York. That's all.
All right. Except we don't have the roads to support it, but.
Well, you will, anyway. And you will, and then you'll have more, even more people. That's the way that works. Yeah, you know. Okay, the book's available everywhere, or how do we get a copy?
Actually, for your listeners, I am making the entire novel free on my website.
Why?
So it's at 69shadesofnashville.com.
Wow.
Because my mission is to educate as many people about a sociopathic sex addict as possible. Yeah. I mean, most of us don't even recognize their existence. They blend in and look like everybody else.
Yeah.
So it's time we wake up and take our power back.
So not only is it an intriguing book, but it also opens up conversation about the subject matter, and that's what's most important about everything. So good, very good.
Exactly. And the first step is understanding how they think, and once we can do that, we can beat them at their own game.
Yeah, but that, you know, that's part of the apathy of America right now, where we are so bombarded with all these people that do weird and awful things that has become the norm. And it used to be when something shocking like this happened, like what happened in your book, that was like a major thing that would sweep the country and be talked about. Now it's like everything is shocking, and we've become so numb to evil and to negativity that that's a scary part of our society at this point.
Needs to change. We've got to wake up.
Exactly. That's the message. And thank you for saying that. We need to change. We need to wake up and say enough of this. This is getting absurd. I can't be a part of this anymore. So good. Thanks for the wake up call, which represents wake up call in many regards. It's 69 Shades of Nashville. 69 would be the number. 69shadesofnashville.com. I definitely recommend that all our listeners go there and at least pay a visit. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
That was hot. Hot. That was hot. I do recommend that book. Really, really cool book. And it's based on an actual situation, so it's like really cool, behind the scenes cool on top of cool. It's cool and hot at the same time. Yeah, yeah. It's like Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson, he coined a phrase, God rest his soul, seriously. He coined a phrase, if something is bad, it's actually good. Thanks, Michael, for screwing up that entire word. Oh, man, that's bad. I'm sorry. Well, no, I mean that's bad. I mean that's bad. So that's good? Yeah, it's bad. You mean it's good, you mean? Yeah, it's bad. Stop it. Stop it. Johnny. Have yourselves a wonderful day. Join me again tomorrow, will you please? Until then, I wish you peace. Okay? Deal? Yeah? Good. That's nice.